Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Mason. Like I say every week, this is not my show. This is our show. This is not an anti-police show. It's not a pro-black show, anti-black show, pro-anti-white. We don't bring politics in here. On here, we go to varying topics on police-community relations, and we're going to do the hard talk, and we're going to point out some things in there that need to be addressed and need to be fixed. We have the hard conversations. We have the hard discussions, so I can learn from you guys. You guys can learn from me. And once it's put on the table, once it's archived, once it's out there, people just have to eat on it, you know, and change themselves. Our ultimate goal here is to have these hard conversations to rebuild police-community relations. You know, we've got hardcore elements on both sides that don't want to talk, and everybody wants to point the finger. For those that, of you guys that have been following the shows and listen, one of the things with me, I don't pull any punches. I'm going to talk about the hard subject. I don't care if black people get mad. I don't care if white people get mad. I don't care if cops get mad, preachers get mad. When we get to that topic that we all know that experience it, things that need to be talked about, we're going in there and we're going deep and doing the whole surgery. We do the root canal of racism over here. We get down into it and we attack the problem. On here, the call-in number is 646-716-4621. If you'd like to call in, then you press 1, and I know that you have a question, comment, or concern, I'm going to let you on. I don't cut anybody short. It's not imperative that you agree with me, because if everybody agrees with me, I don't learn anything. So on here, we're all going to talk and transfer and change ideas. You know, I don't care if you're 45 calling from the White House. You can be the mayor. You can be the police chief. You know, when you call up here, like I always say, I don't care who you are. Everybody's equal. On here, you can be a crack addict in the back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. You're just as important as anybody with a comma and a bunch of letters behind your name. We keep it real here. You know, you could be a Klan member. You call up here, I'm giving you time because I want to learn from you. I don't have time to fight and debate with you. I want to learn from you. So I was looking at some topics I had lined up, and, of course, just like last week, I had some other topics lined up. But, you know, I mean, I got to looking as some things on Facebook that needed to come out, things we're going to talk about today. I titled this show, Know When to Fold Them, like the old Kenny Rogers show. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is misplaying, overplaying, misusing, but constantly tossing out the race card. Every stop by a police officer is not profiling. Every encounter with a police officer is not, I repeat, it is not that they're picking on you because you're black or you're Hispanic or you're poor and white. Some of us out here are, you know, when I say us, I'm not talking about the police side. I mean people, we speed. We forget to use our turn signals. We do things sometimes to bring that legitimate attention. And the first thing some people want to do is throw out the race card on everything. Now, I am, and I'd be willing to admit it, I'll be the first one to call out these officers, as most of y'all know. When they're wrong, I'll say they're wrong. When I would have done something different, I'll say, hey, well, if it were me, I might have approached it this way or that way. And you guys know that. But at the same time, I'm going to call out some citizens, because sometimes we got to drop a BS flag on BS and not just blindly support and march with things, because that does more damage to the movement. And by movement, I'm not talking about overthrowing police. I'm talking about rebuilding police and community relations. The police can only learn if they learn to trust us. We can only learn from them if we learn to trust them. Both sides have got a lot of work to do, and we've got some people out here that have made some questionable claims against officers that simply aren't true. And that really gets to me because, you know, there are a lot of good officers out there, black or white or Hispanic or male or female, that go out there that are putting their lives on the line, that are going out there doing the best they can in some ratty-ass neighborhoods. And some of y'all know it because you live in them. And they go out there, and they're polite, and they're courteous, and they're respectful. Then they come into work 3 days later only to find out that the same citizen they cut a break to has accused them of being racist or has accused them of profiling. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about the effects of that. See, when you do that, unjustified. See, y'all not the only ones with you know, Facebook and YouTube. And so we got cameras. When we step out of them cars, you record it. Even if we don't have your face, we got your voice. And there were two incidents that really caught my attention that I would have loved to have seen get a lot more steam on social media than they did. And that's just in the interest of being fair. If an officer does something wrong, we light their ass up all over Facebook. All over Facebook, YouTube, if this thing has been shared 3 million times. But when citizens call up with some BS that could severely hurt an officer's career, and you may cause a riot in a town and have people's businesses burnt down, have folks locked up for looting, and you don't have nothing behind a hollow complaint, something you done made up. See, it's this kind of attitude. It's when you overplay, when you take advantage of a situation and try to get out of it by playing the race card, when you know you're wrong top to bottom. See, that's how Tulsa happened. You know, Black Wall Street. See, that's how Black Wall Street happened. White woman said, black kid did something, the whole town got burnt down. See, that's how Rosewood happened. White woman said, black kid did something, whole town got burnt down. That's how Emmett Till got put in the ground. Somebody lying. Now, if you're going down the highway and you're going miles an hour in a 55, you get pulled over, you eat that ticket, period. Point blank, you ain't got a leg to stand on. You don't like it? Fight it in court. But to stand out there on the side of the road and just as calm as can be in the car and then come on Facebook talking about how traumatized you were. You were more traumatized on Facebook driving down the road on social media, which should have been another ticket, than you were when that officer stopped you. But what I'm going to do right quick, rather than y'all hear it from me, first I'm going to let you hear. This is Mrs. Dawn Hilton, and she was stopped in Virginia on 58 West, and she was going 70 into 55. Okay, she said that the officer bullied her on Facebook Live. She refused to sign a ticket. She seemed more frightened on the Facebook Live than she did on the stop. But let's hear. It's about 3 minutes long. Let's take the time, and it's very important. Let's hear. Ms. Hilton, the only thing I've edited out of these videos were from the officer's standpoint, and it's the extremely long 5 minutes of quietness when they're in the car. So this is her.
Hi, everybody. This is Dawn. I'm driving. I typically would not drive and do a FaceTime video, but I am I'm in Virginia. I can't even tell you what town. I have to look at something to tell you what town I'm in Virginia. I think Suffolk County or some town in Virginia. And I just was threatened by this police officer, and I want all of my African Americans and people of color that are out there are going to know exactly what I'm talking about, and I want to get a check in on our people. But I'm on this route called 58 West. It's right off in between Virginia as you go to Richmond. It's a cut through between Norfolk and Richmond, and I have had a traumatic experience. And I want the people who are not African American, who know me, to really get where we're coming from. Every time, when I saw the police pull up behind me, the state trooper, I was immediately afraid. I was on the phone with my cousin Patrice, and I had her on speaker because I was on Bluetooth. I'm in the car. The man threatened to pull me out of the car. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to drive and get pulled over by the police. And I'm telling you, I showed him my license, asked him why I was stopped, and he said that I was going 70 and a 65, or just 60 and a something like, some kind of small difference. And so I'm in the middle of a rural little town, and I'm sorry that I'm upset, but I don't get upset too much. Usually I get angry. I don't get afraid. But, you know, and I protested a lot. I'm 50, but in my day, I would say, I did a lot of protesting and a lot of fighting just so things like this would not happen to us. But I get pulled over by this white cop, and he said he's sergeant somebody, and I asked him what the stop was for, and he told me that the 7-mile-an-hour difference, or whatever this was, in the speed difference. I saw no traffic signs, by the way. No traffic signs. By the time I stopped at a convenience store to get a banana, and by the time I had gone to where he immediately pulled me over when he saw me, I gave him my license registration for the rental car that I'm driving. I just come back from the MEAC conference. My daughter was playing tennis in the MEAC conference championship. I'm on the way back to Greenville, South Carolina. The cop comes back with the ticket. I'm on the phone with my cousin. She's saying, stay calm. I'm nervous, having both hands on the wheel, feeling all afraid. He comes back, and when he comes back, he gives me the ticket. And I said, so this is not a warning test, because I didn't see any signs. There were no signs. He said, well, you can go back and look for signs. I said, okay, so this is not a warning ticket. He said, no, this is not a warning ticket. So I said, okay. And my cousin's on the phone, on speaker. He can't see that she's on the phone, because it's on speaker on the other chair. So he said, well, you'll need to sign this ticket. And I said, why would I need to sign the ticket? I don't agree with, and this is just something that I don't think, I said, I won't be signing the ticket, but I'll take the ticket. He said, no, you'll need to sign the ticket. I said, I don't agree. I didn't see a sign. I'll abide by the ticket, but I'm not going to put my signature on that ticket. And he said, well, if you don't put the signature on this ticket, I'll pull you out of the car, and then I'll arrest you, and I'll impound the car. So my cousin immediately puts her voice from the seat that says, don't I sign the ticket. Because my natural instinct, for anybody who knows me, knows that I do not like to be told what to do. I abide by the law. I'm respectful of the law, but you can't make me sign a ticket.
Okay. Now, that was her Facebook Live. This goes on and on and on for about another 5 minutes. For the short version, that was the beginning of it. A couple things she said in there. She didn't remember the officer's name, which is fine. I understand that. Maybe she was upset. She couldn't remember the speed at which she was stopped. And she even said herself, I don't like being told what to do. Now, we got to wonder, if I wasn't there, I'm just taking her Facebook Live, and I'm wondering how much that played in. Now, this officer is painted as a monster, threatened to pull her out of the car and do all these things. Now, let's hear from the officer's camera.
Hello? My name is Sergeant Sasser. I'm in the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office.
Okay.
I'm doing well. Just need to see your driver's license and your vehicle registration.
Okay.
Yeah, the reason I'm stopping you, I clocked you at 70. The speed limit here is 55. Okay. All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, your vehicle,
it's
a rental, just should have a rental agreement.
I'm going to reach in here and get
that's fine.
Yeah, I signed over.
Okay. Thank you. And you still live in South Carolina?
Yeah, I live in South Carolina. I was in Norfolk, Virginia at a PX tournament, and I'm on the way back.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what. Just hold tight for a quick moment, and I'll
okay.
be right back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, ma'am, what I have here for you, it is a traffic summons for Brunswick County General
District. Is it a traffic summons?
Yes, for Brunswick County General District Traffic Court. Your court date is going to be June the 6th at 10:30 for the 70 and a 55-mile-per-hour zone.
Where is the sign that says it's 55 miles an hour?
Numerous places.
Numerous places where? I mean, between the gas station I just came from?
I mean, numerous places back that way. You're more than welcome to go back there and look at them. I mean take pictures of them, whatever you want to do.
So you didn't give me a warning. You gave me an actual ticket?
Yeah, no warnings today, ma'am. So your court date is going to be June the 6th at 10:30 for the speeding of 70 and a 55. You have the option to prepay this. I'm going to give you a phone number plus a website that has our courthouse information. If you contact our courts, they will tell you what the fine is answer any one of your questions, and if you decide to prepay it, then you do not have to come to court.
Oh,
but if you want to prepay it, if you don't want to prepay it, then you have to come to court on June the 6th at 10:30.
I'll hire an attorney.
Need you to sign right here?
I'm not
going to
sign it.
Ma'am. Okay.
But I don't have to sign it.
So, ma'am?
But I appreciate it.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what you're signing here is a promise to either come to court or a promise to prepay. It's not an admission of guilt. It's only a promise to me that you're going to get it taken care of by either coming to court or prepaying it. If you refuse to sign the summons at this point, I'm going to have to get you outside of the police car, outside of this car. I'm going to place you under arrest and take you in front of a magistrate. I will get your vehicle towed and go from there. So, yes, ma'am, you do not have a choice. You have. I don't care about that. You do not have a. I don't care who's on the phone. I'm talking to you right now. You do not have a choice but to sign the summons. So once again, you're signing right there. So thank you. I knew you were going to sign it. Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate it very much. And you have a very safe day. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that guy didn't seem like a monster to me. In fact, he seemed extremely polite, extremely cordial. And in some states, if you don't sign a ticket, by taking you to jail, they're saying they will take you in front of a magistrate, in front of a judge, right then and there on the spot. And if they do that, they have to tow your car. That's why I say so much. When you go into these places, some places, you know, they may just write, you know, refuse to sign and issue you a ticket anyway. Other places, they may take you to jail. So you may want to, before you think that's a blanket rule that goes everywhere, you may want to check the state that you're in and what their rules are. And even in some cities, you know, it may differ. But this guy got accused of being a monster, of being intimidating. This lady sounded more comfortable on the side of the road with him on the traffic stop than she did on the Facebook Live. You know, I don't see anything that this guy did wrong. You know, I don't see where he was intimidating or he was rude. And, the video's online. I've got it up on my post. You guys can see it. Some of y'all may differ. But, I mean, you're going 50 in a 75 or 75 or 70 in a 50. That's not a little bit of speed difference. So this guy basically, in my opinion, based upon hearing what she said, and when I watched it, I listened to her first before I went and watched the officer's video. They're both on the same link that's on my page. And this guy didn't do anything wrong from what I saw. He was polite. He was cordial. He was indifferent. He didn't do the whole, I need to search your car, I smell this, where are you going, where are you coming from? You know, he didn't get into all that. He came up, he handled his business, and he left. And to me, I mean, I think to label this guy as a monster and he's intimidating and no, and you know, some of y'all might not agree with it, but all cops are not bad, and I'm not going to have somebody, this guy just did his job out there, be labeled because we have access to social media. Yes, there's some officers that need to be put on full blast on social media. But we also need to call out some of these stops when people make claims that in listening to the other side, there's no way in the world I can say that this officer did anything wrong. We all do traffic stops differently, but in how he spoke to her and how he addressed her, I didn't see anything wrong with that. And then we have the next case. We're going to go down to, another one. This is in South Carolina, Reverend Gerald Moultrie, M-O-U-L-T-R-I-E. Okay, he was stopped in South Carolina for failed to signal turn. And this was in Timminsville, South Carolina. And these were his claims that he put out on his Facebook live session regarding this officer, that he was racially profiled because he was driving a Mercedes in a nice neighborhood. He claimed that the officer told him, I'm doing you a favor by not taking you to jail. He said that his wife and his child were in the back seat. He claimed that the officer was belligerent and abusive. He said that when he told the officer that the Mercedes-Benz was his, the officer said, and I'm Bill Gates. He also claimed, and this was his quote, someone needs to answer for this behavior, and this officer will. A local activist, Timothy Walter, for those of you who hate local activists and say all people that are social justice warriors, they don't care, this guy got the video. And if he was one of these one-sided people, he could have sat back and said, I'm not going to get involved in it. But this guy, obviously, is, if you want to call us social justice warriors or whatever, this guy said, I'm going to do the right thing. And he made this video known, which was how a lot of this surfaced as far as to what went on. But it's about 3 minutes long. Let's listen to the good Reverend, who is also the president of his local NAACP chapter in South Carolina. So let's hear what happened on his side.
You don't own automotive vehicle?
Yes, sir. I just transferred.
Okay.
What's your name?
Jamie Morgan. Okay. You got your driver's license on you, Mr. Dunn? Well, the reason why I'm coming in contact with you is whenever you took the left right here, you didn't signal. Okay, that's the only reason why I'm coming in contact with you, okay?
Central.
Central 205 Unit Code 4, 10927 South Carolina.
Good.
004-399-321.
10-4. Confirm that 1028 is Papa India Fox 439.
Affirmative. Papa India Fox 439.
10-4. Do you advise the to come back on a Mercedes?
10-4, rest to a 1992 GMC. Sierra. 8. 10-4,
do you advise
that
to come back on a Mercedes?
10-4.
I see that it's clear on Moultrie out of Timminsville with Friars, and then I see my fears are clear.
10-4, take it. Well, here you go, okay? Registration. Try not to drive the car no more until you get the proper documentation, because this registration has to come back to a 1992, okay, GMC truck.
Yeah.
Even in the system is that, too. But what I'm saying, you got to have the proper registration and everything and insurance and all that stuff to actually indicate that plate comes back to this motor vehicle, okay? Because when I run the plate, it's still coming back to this. It's not coming back to your car.
Okay, I understand that. But look, I just bought the car the other day.
Right.
I switched the tags.
Well, you probably need to go to DMV and ask them how come it's not registered in the state of South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles. It's still coming back to that truck.
I understand that, but this is what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I switched the tags from the truck to the car. They told me at DMV, the dealer put that on there to show that the tag is going to be transferred.
Right.
And all I need to do is keep this registration in there,
mm-hmm.
and this bill is there.
They told you wrong. You got to have the proper documentation in your motor vehicle that actually matches the car that you're operating on South Carolina highways in order for it to actually be legal to operate on South Carolina highways. They told you wrong, okay?
All right.
Other than that, there's your driver's license. Just make sure you wear your seatbelt at all times to operate the motor vehicle on South Carolina highways and drive safe, okay?
Now, where in that traffic stop did anybody hear that? I don't know what traffic stop the good Reverend was on, but it damn sure wasn't that one. That guy was professional. He was polite. He could have wrote him a ticket for the turn signal. He didn't. Reverend, be thankful. Isn't that the word you use all the time in church? Be thankful. He could have wrote you a ticket for that registration being done. It's not his fault DMV didn't do it. He could have wrote a ticket for it. He didn't. Be thankful. He could have said, you're not moving this car because it's not registered. It's got to sit on the side of the road, get a tow truck to come pick it up, and it can't operate on South Carolina roads when the tags don't match. He didn't. Be thankful. I mean, this guy had violations. He could have gotten a ticket for any one of them, but he didn't. The guy didn't even give him a ticket for not signaling the turn, which is the reason he pulled him over. And you guys could hear on the radio traffic, when the dispatcher ran the plate, she even mentioned that it wasn't coming back. When he said a Mercedes, she said, no, it's not coming back to a Mercedes. It's coming back to a truck. That's not that officer's fault. But this guy was about as patient and professional as you can get. So that brings my point today. We talk enough about the bad officers, and we do every week, and y'all know I'll be the first one to blow them up. But I'm gonna say we better be careful. And I don't mean black folks, I mean all folks. We got to be careful when we make up things or we accuse things or we're so quick to get on social media about what happened to us that we don't have our facts right. And in this case, these are two people who their facts do not line up with that officer's video camera and their voices coming over that camera. And these type of incidents can easily lead to a riot, to a senseless protest where you make whole organizations that people with credibility look stupid backing somebody on something that's not even real, did not even happen that way. These type of things that drive a wedge into building good community and police relations. These type of incidents fracture the credibility of some of these agencies out here that are trying to work and do work to bring police and community together. This is detrimental. This behavior is inexcusable. And then to come on social media and play the victim card, the victims are these two officers, in my opinion, who slandered all over social media and accused of doing something that just for me listening to the audio from the Facebook Live, listening to the officers, I can't stand by. And the danger of that is there's a little spoken about phenomenon that is currently going through policing, and it has been probably for the last 3.5-4 years. And it's called the Ferguson effect. And it's coming out of the Ferguson incident in Texas. And what the Ferguson effect basically is when officers get lied on or feel they're going to be lied on, then even your good ones, it's not going to stop your bad ones. Your bad ones are going to do what they do. But the good ones, they're going to stop being proactive. And some people go, oh, well, that's good. If they're not going to go out there and write tickets, then I got it made. Okay, so the burglars are coming in your house. And the guy's walking down the street with a TV. Why don't the officer stop him? Hey, I don't know. He might have bought that TV, and I don't want to be all over social media, and it's his, and I get labeled a racist or get labeled this. The Ferguson effect is the backlash from incidents like these two that we keyed in on today. It would be very easy if these things would catch traction and those officers are slandered and their family lives are ruined when they did absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, the second one, he went further out of his way than I would, because the good reverend would have at least left for me with that ticket for that turn signal. He would have just gone down the road with nothing but warnings, you know. And the reason why, because all this stuff would be documented just in case something like this comes back where they say he stopped me for nothing. But the Ferguson effect will hurt communities because it makes your officers not react or not be proactive. They're going to wait till they get a call, and they're going to go address that call. And that's going to hurt you in the long run because you're not going to have that police visibility that you get. Yes, policing needs a lot of work. Yes, we need to weed out a lot of bad officers. Yes, we need to get rid of some sorry police chiefs and police administrators in the profession. But we also need to educate and not tolerate sorry citizens. We shouldn't tolerate people who sit back, and there are some people, see, that just, you know, we all got that relative that just loves stirring the pot. And there's some people, that's what they want to do. They want to make a name. They want to be a martyr or whatever the case may be. But the only problem when you create these type of stories that aren't true, people's stores get burned up behind that. Folks get tear gassed. Folks get put in jail. Officers get hurt. Taxpayers now have to pay money for overtime, for staffing, for rioting, and all these. See, it's very dangerous when we just throw a claim out there. And in this case, and I'm actually glad that both these officers' equipment, their cameras were working 100%. Just like I'm forgetting the bad ones, blow them up on camera. Let's put them out there. Let's expose them. We got to do the same with some of these citizens that are counterproductive to decency and good order in the conversation of police reform. And I got my caller from the 804 area code, last 48603. I think that's Big Gus. What's going on, man?
How you doing, my brother? And God bless you for making it home safe last night. I'm a comment on the one in Virginia because I'm right up the road from 58. And if you ever traveled on 58, there's a lot of, I call them speed traps. But if the sign might say 35 and then 20 yards up, it'll say 45. You know, it's like that all the way down 58. But I'm sure that wasn't that lady's first time traveling up there. And she was like not provoking, but she was trying to initiate an incident to get paid, probably. But they do have some speed traps all up and down 58. And if the sign says go 55, then go 55. You know, a lot of these things could be avoided, man, if you just pay attention to the thing. And again, you are not going to adjudicate a traffic stop at the traffic stop. I mean, it's nine times out. What's that, brother?
Please repeat that and say it again. It's not going to work.
You are not going to adjudicate a traffic stop at the traffic stop. It's a lose-lose situation. You ain't going to do that with him. You're going to make him feel like he did something wrong, and he's going to go further. So you go with the flow. You go with the flow and hope he don't give you a reckless driving speeding ticket if you're going 10 miles over the posted limit. Just, you know, a lot of these things could be avoided. But if you're going to try to disparage an officer who's actually doing the right thing, that causes a lot of problems down the road.
You know, I agree, Gus, but what really gets me so much, I don't even care about her speeding. One way or another, I don't care really about her willingness or whether she wanted to sign a ticket or set up. We deal with that now and then. What gets me with it is to label this guy and demonize him when nothing you said showed up. Nothing. That guy was a lot more patient than a whole lot of officers would have been, and that might have worked on some of these hothead officers that are out there, and they would have got pulled into something. But this lady here, I mean, that officer, to label him all those things, that's what keeps officers inside the car. It's things like that that make the officers not want to get close to the community, not want to talk to them, because they don't want to get called out on something that didn't happen. You know, and they don't want to walk around. I know I don't want to walk around with a body camera on every single minute I'm at work, because I'm going to be sitting there talking to the fellas, or if you see me and we usually sit and chat, I'm not going to want to talk to you, because if you and I are talking about the football game or whatever, that's none of the police department's business. They don't need to see that. And that stuff, incidents like this drive officers back in the car. You know, well, am I going to get set up? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Thank God for body cameras and for those in-car cameras, because without it, these guys would have been at the prey of either the good reverend or this woman. You know, now I don't know. I'm not going to say whether she wanted to get paid or not. I don't know. But I can tell you what her Facebook Live was and what lined up with what that officer did. Stevie Wonder could see that didn't make no sense. Helen Keller would say, I didn't hear a word that she said. That was crazy, man. You know, and that's the era that we're in. There are a lot of us that do want police reform, that are trying to do the right things, that are calling out a lot of these things. And you get some people out here who want to be a martyr for themselves or for whatever reason, and they're willing to throw people's careers down the drain. They're willing to see half their town burn up. They're willing to see innocent people shot at riots or whatever, because of something that never happened. And it really gets me, as black people, we should be keenly aware of the damage a lie or stretching the truth, or what do they call it now, alternative facts or whatever. We as black people should be well aware of the damage that can do it. Hello, Black Wall Street. Go on up there, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Little Africa. Ask about that, the damage one lie can do. How about Rosewood? How about Emmett Till? The damage that one lie can do. When people catch it, it rolls downhill and picks up steam. Cities burn behind that. People lose their lives behind that. So my thing is, until these people get the same amount of social media attention that we give the bad cops, and they need it, I'm not against giving it to them. Y'all know I give them probably more than most of y'all do. But that needs to be put up front, because if people feel they can get away with something, they will get away with it, and somebody is going to get killed or jailed. I mean, I wouldn't want my brother or my sister or my kids sitting in jail or dead at the side of the road on a march that we come to find out is based upon a lie. That's right. What angers me with this. Or see a bunch of officers killed or shot or gunned down in their cars off of a lie, because some knucklehead gets fueled up behind a lie, because it was a Facebook post that's got to be true. You know, some of these people out here, there are people out here who will bait the system. And this is the repercussions that we bear. I'm going to hold you on, Gus. Let me get this other caller in here from the 214 area code. Last four is 5160. What's going on?
How you doing, Stan? This is Rob from the Roundtable. I wanted to, I like the conversation we're having. I think that we're missing something a little bit. So, I was stationed in Virginia when I was in the military, and just a little story. I had a friend that I was very involved in the arts community out there in Norfolk and Virginia Beach. And I had a friend of mine that one day, it was a Saturday, I believe it was, and we were in the middle of doing improv. And I mean, like, we went to go to get some food to eat, and I rode with him, and on our way back, we get pulled over by a police officer. Now, I'm going to tell you something just real quick. I want to leave this out for the room. Sam DeBose got his head blown off just for not having a driver's license. So when we got pulled over, I find it very interesting how the police officers, they approached. There were two police officers. One was black, one was white. The white guy got out and came to the vehicle, but on my side, I was on the passenger side, and my friend who was driving, the black cop, went on his side. And I watched that whole scenario happen. I'm the passenger, and I had to give my military ID just to prove that I am military, or that I am, you know, who I say I am, and I couldn't really figure that out. But I ended up giving my military ID to the officer, and as it turned out, my friend didn't have a driver's license on him. And the officer, the black officer, said to him, "If you don't have your driver's license, tell me your social security number." So I see a lot of inconsistencies, in my opinion, just in how the law is enforced at a local level and in various ways or another. And my thing is, I like the fact that we have that we're willing to touch both sides of the argument, because I think it's fair to say that black people, we need to hold ourselves accountable when we get pulled over for speeding. If I was speeding, I don't really need to argue past that. But at the same time, I do also believe that racial profiling exists and feel insulted when it seems like there's a reaction that this person is complaining about racial profiling just because they don't want to pay a ticket. Well, they should pay the ticket. They're wrong for that. But why are we acting like black codes didn't exist in the South? Why are we acting like police officers don't profile? A lot of police departments were afraid, you know, to even admit it to the federal government that racial profiling existed.
Right, right, right.
And I mean, the as I close on it, I'm just saying that I don't think that this isn't about racial profiling. My thing is, if you understand that it does exist, well then, like in these cases, how can we compare that to what a racial profiling incident does look like, I would say, as training for seminar or for examples like this?
Right. Now, I'm going to say this, Rob. I agree with you. I think everybody on here knows racial profiling exists. We'll throw that out the equation. But when you don't use a turn signal, you're going 70 and a 55, guess what? You're going to get police attention. Their officers sit out there and run radar. That's what they're there for. You know, I mean, I'm not going to give either one of these people a pass enough to even introduce racial profiling to them, because in my opinion, neither one of them has a claim, period, point blank. If those officers meant to do something to him, the Reverend would have had bunions hurting, because he'd have been walking down the side of the road with his car on the back of a flatbed, headed to the yard with a handful of tickets. Or, you know, he'd have been calling for a ride. But that officer let him drive, didn't write him a ticket for the not using the signal, didn't write him for the registration. He could have done all that. He didn't. So I'm not going to even let racial profiling even come into this argument. We all know that exists. We do enough shows on that. And for the woman, it's the same thing. She didn't like the fact that she got a ticket and not a warning. That is obvious in her voice. Period, point blank. She's speeding. My thing is, every stop an officer makes, I'm sorry, but it is not racial profiling. Yes, it exists. But to say that every stop an officer makes is racial profiling, you can't go back on the same leg and go, not all black people sell dope. Not all white people are in the Klan. Let's just profile everybody. And I think we should be the first ones to know that what everybody is not guilty of. We can, you know, traffic stops, we got a multitude of ways that we do them. There's no one set way. You all see the one set way. But there's certain things that say, if I'm going to go to the passenger side, if I'm not going to. As far as asking for the social security number, what that officer was doing was giving another benefit of the doubt. He could have just wrote a ticket. drive without a license. And then said, now you come back to the court and pay the ticket and prove that you got a license. But he didn't. He took the Social Security number, he ran it, and then they're able to come back and go, yes, this guy's driver's license is this, this, and this. This is his physical description. This is his address. So he might not have it on him, and that officer may walk back and go, okay, you need to carry your license with you from now on. I was able to confirm who you were. You can go. Versus writing him a ticket and then telling you, okay, now you drive. So that officer actually went out of his way when he said, let me see, give me your social and I'll check that way. He didn't have to do that. He could have just wrote a ticket. You don't know your driver's license number? It's not my responsibility to look it up. And if you don't know it, how can I look it up, especially if you're out of state? In Texas, if you're John Doe or Timothy Smith, I may put your name in that computer and I got 300 Timothy Smiths, and I'm not going to sit on the side of the road to figure out which one you are. You're going to get a ticket and you take your driver's license up there to the court and you show the court. You know, we can't say we don't want to be detained on the side of the road and at the same time not carry the things that we're supposed to have on us that's going to make that officer have to sit there and identify you. Because if you think about it, he knows, you know who he is because we have name tags. You tell me your brother's name, which we get all the time. You'd be amazed how many of y'all out there got tickets right now behind your brother or your sister or your cousin using your
right.
name. We run into it all the time. See, that's why I like doing this, because y'all get to hear the inside stuff that a lot of you don't know. We all got the ratchet family members out there using your name, using your social, using your date of birth all the time. But even in the case you just gave me, that officer went out his way. Because he could have wrote your friend a ticket, and if you say, I don't want to show no ID, I ain't got to show you nothing. He'd have said, well, that's fine then. I tell you what, since we're out here on the highway, mister, I don't have a driver's license, why don't you get out and stand out over here? Mister, I don't want to show my ID, why don't you get out there and stand there with them? Y'all might want to get somebody to call for a ride, because since you don't have a driver's license and you don't want to show any ID, y'all could pick this car up from the impound. Have a nice day. He could have done all of that. But they didn't, and that's why I like doing this. These are things y'all don't know. Then I like officers, we should share more, and I agree, we don't educate you guys enough. But that officer right. in your scenario you gave me could have very easily done that. Y'all just would have been some tired brothers when you got wherever it is you was going, because y'all wouldn't be riding, and I don't think it was Uber when that was going on. You know, but profiling, I don't think any of us here can argue that it exists. Officers are finally admitting that it exists. They don't have a choice between the Sandra Bland Act and all the stuff that we now have to fill out on tickets that you guys aren't even aware of. It's not on your copy, but there's a list of things that we have to fill out, demographic stuff we have to fill out on our tickets, because the federal government wants us to keep stats on it, which I applaud and I'm glad for. But my point is today, you know, just like every officer out there is not bad, every citizen out there is not bad. We can't call the racial profiling on every single stop automatically and crucify good officers, the few that are out there that are willing to speak up and willing to give breaks like both these people got a break, both of them. Because like I said, I'll tell you, the good reverend would not have left me ticket free. I don't write a lot of tickets, but he was going to get one. He's got one of them. He's probably got that turn signal so I can document my reason for stop. Just in case he come back a week later and I don't remember him and says, he pulled me over because I'm black in a Mercedes in a nice neighborhood. You know, he said that the officer said, and I'm Bill Gates. Y'all didn't hear that anywhere in that officer's video or audio. You didn't hear that anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Not at all. And this is a preacher. That's the president of an NAACP. Now, imagine the damage to the credibility to the NAACP, let alone that church. I know I would not be sitting up in there tomorrow. Not at all. But these are these claims, and I mean, we have to call these claims out. Last week, we talked about white fear, and it's a very real thing. And you know, white folks, some of them might have got upset with it, but it's real. And look at what we had all last week, Barbecue Becky. So we're ahead of the curve. This week, we're talking about the race car, and everything's not a race issue, and we might as well go on and bite on that apple with the same vigor that we bite on it when the officer is treating the citizen bad. You don't have to like police, but like people. You can hate cops, but be part of the solution. We don't need people to be part of the fight, because as long as we're fighting, neither side is getting anywhere, and the citizens will lose in the end, whether it's through officers retreating from the neighborhood and saying, look, when I get a call, I'll go in there. Outside of that, I ain't even going in there. And then we'll have drug dealers and thugs and hooligans and miscreants. Yes, there are bad officers. There are bad police administrators. There are bad politicians. There's bad preachers. Guess what? There's bad citizens, too.
Yes,
and we
sir.
Got to call out things that are wrong across the board, not just the officers. See, we're too afraid to throw a bullshit flag on a citizen now and then. Oh, well, I don't know. He's a preacher. I ain't got no problem with tossing a flag on a preacher. You don't believe me? Ask
right.
the Catholic Church. They should have tossed a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I mean, you know how we do it up here. We're just being real on the topic. Both of these officers, I don't know them personally. I didn't even intensely research them. I listened to no more. I didn't want to know any more than what you guys have heard today. Both sides of these issues. And if somebody thinks that there's somehow these officers were wrong, 646-716-4621, please call me and tell me where you think they were wrong. Because I will tell you personally, that lady would have got that ticket from me. And she was polite to the officer and everything in the car. She was polite. Yes, sir. Thank you. He said, I'll be right back. Yes, sir. Thank you. She didn't seem like she was traumatized. And the second one, the preacher, that guy spent all that time explaining to him, didn't write him any tickets, could have wrote him three, didn't do it. And to have him come back and do that, yes, I take offense to that. With the same vigor, I get upset when I see an officer gun down an unarmed black man, and y'all see me come on here, and I'm irate about it, and I'm ticked off about it. Well, when I see good officers that are wrongfully accused of something they didn't do, and where it could potentially destroy their whole family life, get these guys fired, get the town put on fire, get a whole lot of things can go because of somebody's inaccuracy. No, I'm gonna call that mess out all day long. And if somebody gets twisted about it and don't like it, guess what? Next Saturday you have a chance to not like me again because I'm going to pick another subject and we're going to light somebody up again. Because until we recognize that there are problems and everybody's not credible just because they make something a race issue doesn't mean it was a race issue. And like I said, black people, we ought to know that because we don't need to think any further back than Tulsa. The damage one lie can do. Black Wall Street is not here today because of a lie. Rosewood, Florida is not here today because of a lie. Entire communities. So we have to make sure that we all research and fact-check each other. If I put something up there that's not right on Facebook and you guys found something that's true that I didn't know, please let me know. So I can either put my correction in or get myself right. I'm not above that. And the same with each other. Let's check each other and make sure that we can disagree, but let's make sure our facts line up. I got you guys' mics open if y'all want to comment because I'm about to bring Tyrone in here and see his standpoint on this.
Right. Well, I'll say a little something. But, you know, on the other hand, if we continue to keep going down the path we're going on with these frivolous Facebook posts and Facebook Live stuff, that's not even helping the situation, you know, between police and community relations. That's not helping the situation. Because as you said earlier, you know, policemen are going to stop, you know, they're not going to stop doing their job, but they're going to stop going the extra mile to do their job. And that's going to be detrimental mm-hmm. to our health and their safety. So, yeah, to me it's crazy. And you get on Facebook and lie, and I think they're trying to get paid then. I think they're trying to create something and get paid and get in the limelight, the 15 minutes of fame, and get a high-priced attorney and sue. Because municipalities are giving out money like it's lunch these days, giving it out real quick. Because what's her name's family? The young lady that was shot by the police in Baltimore County, where I used to live at, mm-hmm. Baltimore County. They the policemen aren't going to jail, but the city getting ready to give up. The county's getting ready to give up $37 million to her family.
Good.
Now you tell me what's wrong with that picture.
No, because I agree with the posting. I want people to keep posting it because, number one, we've gone through an era of our word wasn't any good. When we started talking about racial profiling and being picked on and being abused, our word wasn't any good. Then we had the fuzzy Polaroid pictures that weren't good enough. Then we walked in there with the cell phone videos that weren't good enough. So now, by all means, I have no problem with these posts as long as they're factual and we can disagree on opinion. But when we get the facts out and we throw it out there, because municipalities and police departments, and this is just my opinion, some of them that are inherently corrupt, from, I mean, just rotten to the core. Not every officer, but the leadership, and it's got deep roots of corruption in some of them, until they're put on blast and make the mayor get off his ass when people are sick and tired of paying these million-dollar settlements and seeing their town embarrassed on Facebook, then somebody's ass will get fired. And then once they get fired, you put somebody else on that hot plate. But if you don't have that visibility, as much as some of these videos are disturbing, as much as some of them make us angry, guess what? They call people into accountability. Don't think city councils are not looking at this when it's their city. A mayor's not looking at it. Don't you think for a minute that those businessmen are not going down to that city council saying, y'all better do something because if my store gets burnt up, guess what? I'm filing a lawsuit. So those videos are bringing out the stories that we've told for years that nobody wanted to believe. See, it's like Will Smith said, police brutality is not new. It's just video now.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And one of the things it will force, and it is slowly nudging, a lot of officers are starting to come out. Some are starting to come out and stand against some of this stuff within their different geographic areas of their departments. They may not do what I do. They don't have to. I'm me. I'm going to do what I do, irregardless of what the next man does, and I'm not going to judge anybody by what I do. But there are some that are starting to come out. But those videos give us ammunition to keep somebody's ass on the hot plate. Because without Facebook Live posts, without these posts, without the open conversations like we have here, we allow this stuff to operate with impunity. And we sit back just telling opinions and stories, and when somebody says, well, let me see the facts. Well, I ain't got them. I didn't post them. Oh, keep posting. Keep video. Keep video because it makes the conversation go. And if people got to be sued, these departments and these cities, let them get sued. Let them get sued. But damn it, if the officer's right, don't throw the officer under the bus to do a settlement. If the city wants to settle with somebody to save embarrassment and that officer didn't do anything, then you come out in a press conference and you say that officer didn't do anything. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that happens in a lot of cities. Oh, we'll just settle, give them $100,000, and they'll go away. But yet that officer, you know, he's been slandered and thrown all over the place. What's his justification? What does he get? You get enough of those situations that the good officers you got leave your city, then you're going to get some trash officers. You think you got it bad now, baby. You wait till they show up. When you can't afford to hire top quality and you show that you're not going to support your officers when they're right, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get some rogue-ass officers, and we all know who they are. We've seen them. You know, and I know some of y'all are thinking, boy, this language. I tell you what, this is the adult show over here. You know, I believe in what I do, and we get motivated and get caught up with it, and sometimes we roll with it. Let me get my brother TKD in here real quick. Got to hear from him. Tyrone, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, fellas. This is a real simple one for me. I mean, it's straight up deception. And you hear the phrase three times or three's a charm, or I'd say in this case three's a clown, and three strikes you out. Listen to that first video. I took notes. Of course, this officer identified himself. He told her why he was stopping her. He was very precise with the information given her and told her it was not a mission of guilt. And she went on to straight out lie. And, you know, in the South, we know it's definitely in different states in the South. I know, yeah, they could take you to jail. They can impound your car and all that. And instead of doing all that talking, she should just took the ticket and went on about it merry way. Cause I heard nothing but professionalism from that officer. But like they say in the South, it's like that. In the phrase of Run DMC, and that's the way it is, you know. She played a nice role of a drama queen, queen of drama. She tried to dramatize this whole situation, and just like Run DMC would say, I'm just going to put a little hip-hop rap in there. You know, she's the queen of drama. There are some higher. Sucker for lies, and now it's time for them to retire. Because as you said, Brother Stan, Officer, that, you know, these people just, they're troublemakers. They're actually throwing gas on an already, let's say, a garbage can fire, which could eventually explode into a five-alarm, out-of-control inferno ablaze. So, again, lying. The other guy, he did the same thing in the scales of what they call justice. We're always crying freedom and justice and equality. And we know the phrase that says there's two sides of the story, then there's the truth. Well, this, I wouldn't care if he was a preacher. And the fact that he was a preacher, and the fact that he had his so-called credentials as a president of the NAACP, well, he might have to change that to a confused person for the national advancement of a confused person, because he willfully lied from the start. He knew the truth from
the
start.
But he
willfully lied from the start. He knew the truth. He knew his stuff wasn't right. But he decided to tell a bold face, I would say bold straight, poker face, crooked lie. To be set free.
He probably made Trump choke. Trump probably said,
yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm listening to this dude, and I'm like, okay, so he obviously was he is the definitely poster child or poster pimp, I would say poster pimp pastor or preacher, and I'm gonna say it like that because he don't practice what he preaches. They say in the book you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So why didn't he just use that? Because that's part of what he's supposed to do or teach, not only just every Sunday, but live it. And he was wrong, so why didn't he just admit he was wrong? But he didn't, so he just took the line of being a hypocrite. So let's call it what it is. It's hook or crook, and he right there was the crook, trying to attempt to bait the hate, which a lot of people get caught up in. They get caught up in these scenes, and they get caught up in emotions. And I say, you know, these guys, people, whether it's her, it doesn't matter what the so-called ethnic group or culture or race it is, these are instigators. These are provocateurs. These are just bad actors, and they don't realize they're being filmed. They're on video. So, you know, I say it all the time. We have a sickness. A lot of people have this sickness called we have a bad and a difficult time just being honest. But then we always use the phrase, especially religious people will use this in a heartbeat, the devil is a liar. Well, if the devil's a liar, why when you, and this is not just geared toward the preacher or the pastor or whatever, this is anybody, why don't you just tell the truth? But we always hear the phrase, well, the truth hurts. Well, you know what? It's okay, as long as you can tell the truth, because I can live with the truth, and I know officers can live with the truth. But once you start lying to them, then it shows how dishonest you are. It says something about your lack of integrity or your character, that you are now creating a character and you being fueled by the social media, mass media, TV, whatever it is, to create your now short film or your short skit or your short play or your little short movie, because you become an opportunist now and you love playing the point of being the victim. Why? Because victims get all most of the attention. So while people are singing the blues, while being pulled over and confronted by the women and men in blue, all they're doing is making a fool out of a lot of people who take that and deliberately run with it without, like you said, finding all the facts. We know there's even people who've been killed by the police, so they say. And there's a phrase we know from the streets. It's called suicide by cop. A lot of this stuff is staged. They do this purposely. They don't want to live no more. So they do crazy stuff. So why would he do it? Because you know what? Some people are chicken. You know, they don't want to live no more, but at the same time, they don't want to take themselves out. And I know this just happened yesterday. Didn't it just happen in El Paso when the shooter who killed all them kids in the school, and he's talking about he wanted to kill himself, but he didn't have the courage to do it? Well, there's a lot of people who don't have the courage to tell the truth. So we know we all dress according to the climate. We all do. And right now we should address the given climate, given between law enforcement and the citizens or the public. We got to settle the score here. In other words, we got to bring back the facts. We got to stop lying, because all it does is set up more mistrust by misquoting people, misinforming people. Now we got a further misunderstanding between the general public, the citizens, and law enforcement. So keep fueling that if you want to. Keep pouring gas on the fire if you want to. Keep taking that garbage can fire and making it a brush fire now to a doggone five alarm blaze if you want to. Because in the long run, like you said, there's video. There's a good thing we have body cams. We got whether it's in the car. So now, because you know what? You're going to bring forth the truth. So let's don't get caught up in what we hear and end up being deaf. Don't get caught up in what we even see, because you might be blinded by it. And please don't get caught up in the emotions, because you will get disturbed and charged up emotionally because you're not using intelligence. Because why? You don't have all the facts. That's why they have further investigation. It's under investigation. Let's discover the facts, the reality, and the truth, and let's bury these damn lies. Because people just lying out there, just trying to be an opportunist to either get paid, you know, and try to get people on their side. So many people are starving for attention. Right now, people do anything, seem like, for attention, even down to Mr. President of the NAACP himself. And not that that makes any difference to me, because titles don't mean crap to me. Because titles are just something a lot of people hide behind. But I'm glad that we have these videos. I'm glad we have these cameras. I'm glad the police officers are having body cams. Because you know what? Just behave and do what you're supposed to do. Shut up. We talk too damn much, you know, because the more we keep talking, the more people get agitated. And that's like with anybody, whether it's your little child, your grandchild, your spouse, whatever. You get to the point where you be like, man, would you shut up? You know what I'm saying? And these are ones you love. So, you know, a stranger out in the street, now you're wondering, why is he doing this? Or why is she doing this? Trying to bait the hate. Trying to do that. Stop it, man. And that's why I'm going to end with that.
No, but what really aggravates me, and I just say what really pisses me off about this, is because to me, it's just a slap in the face to Terrence Crutcher, Walter Scott, Tamir Rice, Arthur Sterling, Philando Castile, Sandra Bland, all these people who were trying to advocate to get some clarity and get some change so that we don't have more incidents like this, for somebody to just inject themselves into some mess. You know, this is just a big stinking pile of dog crap, and people stir it up. And like I said, the potential for so many people to be killed or injured, businesses lost, not just because they're burnt down, but for community or for businesses that don't want to come into that community anymore, off a line. Off of a line. I noticed none of the major media touched this. None of them. None of them. But I guarantee you, if that officer would have done something wrong, it'd have been on every single media station there. And I want it to be there. But I also want these situations like this where these people lie, put that out there too. If you're willing to ruin these officers' lives, and some of them, bring it upon themselves. But the ones that are out there doing the job the right way, when we don't stick up for them and defend them, when we run them off, what does that leave us with? When the good ones say, to hell with it, and I can tell you all, my 25 years in county, I can tell you there's a lot of good officers out here right now that said, man, when I hit 25, I'm done. I'm sick of it. They're fed up because they're catching it from the inside and they're catching it from the outside. And they're getting tired. And when the good ones are gone, hello, y'all better look at Dallas. Y'all have Nick on here has told y'all. When you get what you can pay for and you've got a lousy retirement system, and if you don't give the officers time to interact with the community, if the administration doesn't take care of the officers, and you got the rogue officers running around doing what they want to do, victimizing citizens with impunity, it's going to be counterproductive to your community, and the citizens will lose. Not that officer. Because when times get rough for him, he's going to pick up and go to another department somewhere and get hired on again. But you got to try to live in this high-taxed community where you're getting higher taxes and less police service, where you start to see a lot of some of the good officers you used to see, you don't see no more. You're sitting around with your friends talking about, you remember old officer so-and-so, man, that sure was a good guy. Policing is changing. We got to call out the bad people who are labeling good officers. If you're really for right, and some people tell me, man, I like what you do, you speak up for right, well, right doesn't have a color on. I take enough heat by what I do, trust me. Not just in my workplace, but around. I take the looks and the stares, but I believe in what I'm doing. And I will call out a police officer today, a black person tomorrow, a white person an hour later. You know, when you get to right, we got to stop being right with a caveat or a condition. It's either right or it's not. We can't be selected in being right. And we got to call these bad citizens out with the same vigor that we're willing to call out the bad officers. Because then, only then are you truly right. And when you can be transparent and be willing to say, I'm going to call out this officer and I'm going to call out this citizen, you build this thing called credibility. And you're going to have haters. Folks are not going to like you. But you build credibility. I'm more interested in being understood than being liked. I'm not interested in whether people even agree with me. But if you understand where I'm coming from, You can't do nothing but respect that I'm going to be me, and I'm going to do me. I'm not going to cater to anybody for likes. I don't need to go, well, you know, cops never do any wrong. No, cops do a lot of stuff wrong, but so do citizens. And when I got to light them up, I'm going to light them up too. And enough of y'all following, no, y'all be lighting them up on the page, and I like it. Keep it going, because my page is where we can come have hard dialogue. This show is about hard topics and hard subjects. You guys can share. I understand that we have a meal here that ain't for everybody. Sometimes we're too early. We're like a good meal, a deep fried food first thing in the morning. It's going to fill you up and put you to sleep. But, you know, you guys, just, I appreciate everybody that calls in. We're going to do a roll call and go back down through everybody. I'm going to start with Big Gus up in the 804. Gus, 2 minutes, any topic you want.
Well, I'm glad we had this topic, too, to show the other side of, you know, of decent peace officers, man, and I'm glad it's being exposed. That's all I got to say. And also, thanks for the shout-out, man, for the, you know, the bereavement in my family. I appreciate that.
Oh,
everybody,
yeah, brother,
in the Virginia family.
Yeah, I try to follow a lot of y'all, man. I don't get a chance a lot of times to get into long dialogues, but I monitor you guys more. You guys post than you know, and I click on things. I might just give a like, but, you know, I just, sometimes my finger's too tired to type, but I do follow you guys, so don't think you follow me and I'm not following y'all, because I do read a lot of y'all's stuff. I just don't read all that nasty stuff sometimes. But Big Rob, 2 minutes. What's going on?
Great show again, Stan. I just, first let me say, you can follow us on the roundtable at GCCPROD. That's Gary Charlie Charlie Productions, or GCCPROD, not the whole word, Productions, on Facebook. I just wanted to close out on this topic. Like, I really do, I think that as we get a little more, this isn't a discussion that we're going to solve in one day. I get that. But I think when we delve deeper into the civilian side of it, like, I know that there are those people, I believe that there are those people that are trying to hustle the system for whatever they can get, but I think that there's also an honest crowd that, excuse me, that might not have the money, and which has nothing to do with the police department, or might be struggling financially, that really do believe they are being manipulated, because, I mean, the facts already say it, that we have more black people in prison than anybody. So then there then becomes a cause for concern. Well, what level did it start? At what point did this get so aggressive to where it became not just a public business, but then a private business? Where did we go wrong to where we have a bunch of private prisons popping up in Texas, and mainly black people are in them? So I would, but on the flip, I would just quickly say that, again, what are we doing out there? Like, if we're out there driving, we need to have a purpose, because that's how we avoid situations like this. Thanks again, Stan. Shout out to Behind the Blue Curtain.
All right, brother, appreciate you. But, we'll do another show on these private prisons. But if you really want to know where the first private prisons came from, they were called plantations. Everybody was shackled, couldn't nobody leave. They weren't getting paid, and they were doing all the work. That sounds like modern-day prisons to me. You know, Big Tyrone, 2 minutes, brother, take us out. What's up?
Well, I think it seems like if we continue on this this road of following people based just on titles and positions, which we've seen time and time again, we can't trust people just because of titles and positions. And I got to say, this NAACP, I mean, are we refining it? Is this guy not refining it? Basically, he would be defying it, you know what I mean, by changing it into the National Association of the Advancement of Contradicting People, or Confusing People, or Conniving People. I mean, you know, what is that C supposed to be? Because it ain't about just color, because it's about, when you, because you got colorful lies out here as well as colorful truth. So, I mean, it's we should have evolved past just that thinking it's just for black people, especially if a black person is just going to supposedly call herself a representative of an organization that was founded on of getting this justice, the right justice for a set of people. Now, all these years later, you're still doing things that go contrary to the very things that we complained about in the early, when its early beginnings, why it started, because of the lies that were done, how people were hauled mm-hmm. in and charged with felonious crimes and jail for stuff. Now you got people in 2018 who got the position of president or director, whatever, in up their line. The debate to me is real simple. Just tell the truth and live the truth. Don't just talk it, walk it. Stop lying. If you want truth, and the truth shall set you free, and your freedom and justice and equality is what you're really about, it starts off with the word truth. Be truthful. Whether, I don't care how ugly it is, tell the truth. And then you don't have to worry about hiding behind titles, hiding behind a lie, hiding behind a story, hoping nobody got videos. Tell the truth. And yeah, it's going to hurt a lot of folks. You know why? Because we've been so conditioned to accept the lies. I'm going to end with that,
man. You know, I'll tell you, if the good reverend down there in South Carolina wants to say, tell the truth and the truth will set you free, well, the truth didn't set his ass free that night on the side of the road. That good cop that he accused of being racist and profiling him set him free and let him walk when he should have left out of there with three tickets light in the pocket, you know. But, you know, let's just be honest. Let's treat people the way we want to be treated. Give folks the benefit of the doubt sometime, you know. For me, you know, trust, but, you know, verify. You know, look at your stuff, look at your sources. Let's research some of this stuff a little bit. If y'all see me throw something out there that's half-true, hit me up with a message or put it in the screen. You know, I'm not above being corrected, and I miss things. But start calling it out equal across the board. You know, some folks just don't want to admit that there are some police officers they like. I mean, that's just, I guess, that some folks want to be on the hater bandwagon. I'll tell y'all now, there's citizens I can't stand. And there's police officers I can't stand. And some of them probably can't stand me. So we're all not going to get along, but we can coexist. And that's what we have to do. I got to give shout-outs to my Facebook crew, Jose, Jackie, everybody that followed me and got up, man, and been keeping up with me. You know, I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Love the interaction throughout the week on the post. We get it going on there. So you guys can go to stanmason.com. You can download this show and also all the shows we've done from the beginning. They're all archived there. Under the Listen tab, feel free to do anything you want with them. You know, I own them. I'm not charging nobody for them. Get them. Do whatever you want to do with them, you know. Spread them out. Put them on a CD. Maybe you got some people that are incarcerated in jail. If they allow them to have CDs or however, you know, let them listen to it. Give them something constructive to listen to. But until then, you guys, we just all got to remember, you know, what Martin said.
I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.